Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
More dogs indeed. Ahoy, happy Wednesday to you. Still no Isaac Rop. We're on Lane Kiffin Watch. Day, I believe now, what, five? Because he got sick. Got sick Friday, so we're Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The best part is all I got from Rob this morning was a single word that just said out.
Oh, okay.
Because yesterday I got at least I got like a line of explanation, you know, like, hey, sorry, man, not feeling good. Today was just out.
What if tomorrow is just naw? N-A-W.
How about a thumbs down? Like, we're just going to get shorter and shorter every day.
Well, I did broach.
That's Friday.
I did broach the subject.
Well, he's already out Friday.
He's out Friday.
Well, that's true.
I did broach the subject today. I said, hey. I said, first off, feline AIDS is a hell of a thing. I hope you recover. I said, don't die. And I merely said, hey, I know Friday you're supposed to be off, so should I assume the rest of the week you're just out? And he said he's not ready to rule out tomorrow, but barring some sort of major uprising, he wouldn't count on being in tomorrow.
He's still in feline AIDS protocol, and he has a game coming up, and you have to get in some practice before you're out of the feline AIDS protocol.
I would assume
not going to be here.
Andrew Nemec sitting in, and it's National Signing Day, so we thought it made sense for you to wear your best Al Borland shirt and come on in, and we can talk some high school oily hips or whatever the hell happens in the world of recruiting. But yeah, because the other thing about Rop being out on Friday, that means he's going somewhere. My guess is some sort of Central Oregon something or other. I would say normally golf, but this time of year, golf can be a little dicey. Maybe there's Vegas. But obviously, this was planned out well in advance, which means he's going to do everything he can to be healthy, not for the show, but to be healthy for Friday. So right now, Vegas has him as like a... Dude, he's like a 10-1 underdog to come into the program tomorrow.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So just buckle up on that one.
I would say 100-1. Yeah. Like, this is minus 10,000 odds that he will not be here. Isaac Rop, congratulations. You are the master of the 10-day break when he gets sick.
From a 4-day weekend to a 10-day vacation.
His immune system, when it comes to getting sick right before or right after a holiday or a vacation, it's unbelievable. He's the Giannis Antetokounmpo of being sick around those sorts of things.
The what now?
That popped up. Like, I see Giannis's face. Like, no one's talked 1 second about the NBA, and now all of a sudden, this is the problem with the NBA.
Right.
This is the coverage of it. Like, the Thunder have lost one game. They're the defending champs. They're probably going to get the Clippers number 3 or number 4 overall pick. And the number one story in the NBA is that Giannis apparently wants to be a Knick.
The TMZification of that league has been an issue. Yeah. I had a really alarming start to my afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as a parent, sometimes you just have a weird feeling with your kids. I don't know if you ever have that, especially when they're little. You kind of have a weird feeling. So I text my mom, who's picking up my daughter, and then they're walking to her house after school.
Sure.
Hey, just make sure you get there. I want to remind you. And also just be careful. I've got kind of a weird vibe. Okay. So
you just have like a sixth sense sort of thing?
Yeah, just a bad feeling. Like, yeah. I just make sure.
And by the way, that as a parent is like the worst feeling in the world when you don't know why. I had that sometimes. My kids are all grown now, but every now and then I'd be dropping them off at school. And like the school shooting thing would be in my head. It's an awful feeling when you pull away. You're like, why do I feel like this? Chances are you're just being, you know, paranoid. But yeah.
So I get a text from my stepson is in college and he went to Clackamas High School. He's from that area, has a buddy that still lives in the area. Mm-hmm. Right. So I get a video from Jaden's friend that says, Little Jordan sighting, my daughter.
Yeah.
And she's walking down the street. I've sent you the video.
Yeah.
Completely by herself.
Yeah.
No backpack.
Yes.
No coat.
No. You sent me this clip and I didn't know what it was. It was just a little girl kind of skipping down the street. And I was like, what? You said there's context. I'll explain later. I was a little worried about you when I saw the clip.
So I tell my mom, be especially careful with Jordan today. Yeah. I have a little anxiety.
Yeah.
Jaden's friend messages me, hey, I see your kid walking down the street by herself. And you can see Jordan just carefree.
Yeah. No one around
backpack.
Her. No.
Nobody no, near nothing. Her yeah. walking down the street.
Just out there, just out there raw dogging it. Just doing whatever.
Whatever. So I call my mom and she's like, oh yeah, I let her run ahead. And it's like, Ma, there aren't that many times where I tell you I'm a little stressed out about it. So just please be extra careful.
Now, what does let her run ahead mean?
I see. Now we'll have to circle back.
Yeah.
In the moment, my immediate thing, because we're about to step in to the studio, was, are you guys home now together? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We will discuss this later. I don't know. She said she wanted to race the cars. And now I have multiple follow-up questions.
Huh. So... Interesting. How far away do you live from the school, or your mom live from the school?
Like 3 blocks.
3 blocks. Okay. So can I beat the cars home? I'm assuming that's what that means.
I think it's down the street for a minute. Here's what I think happened. It is around a turn.
Yeah.
I think there's a very good chance that grandma was literally like 4 or 5 sidewalk squares behind her.
Sure. Because
the video is very short.
Yeah.
And Jordan has just come around the corner, and my mom is relatively right behind her.
Yeah.
However, on a day when you're like, my anxiety's not good on this issue, getting a text, and by the way, the number of times I've gotten a text from Jaden's friend,
one other time.
Which is how I got the number when it was like trying to find them at a sporting event.
With no context, just, hey, I see your daughter walking on the street
by herself. And it just says, Little Jordan sighting, and she's just by herself.
Can I tell you, too, that just someone sending a clip of your daughter walking out of the back view of a car, by the way.
Yeah, back view of a car.
That says Little Jordan sighting. That has real hostage sort of vibes.
Oh, totally.
That's like a Taken Liam Neeson sort of situation. Like if you send someone a clip that's like, by the way, and you throw the little in there, that's kind of more terrifying.
Oh, it was definitely threatening.
That's kind of more of a, by the way, you're not going to see your kid again unless. Like that's a very unsettling video when your anxiety level is already high.
It's also an important piece of the video. It is not that he like rolled the window down and was like, hey, he's shooting it through the back windshield or the back window of his car.
Look,
and you can see the back seats. It's just really disturbing.
Sure.
So again, given the situation of, hey, probably silly, probably on me, have some weird feelings here, to my son's friend being like, hey, Jordan's walking down the street by herself and here I am filming her when she's totally by herself.
Yeah.
My feelings
it feels very threatening.
Feel great.
Well, I mean, I'll be interested to see what your mom's take on that is.
He sent it to his friend, my stepson.
Yeah.
And he just said, where's grandma? ... Not good. You know what, Jaden? I agree.
Yeah.
Not great.
There's definitely those moments as a parent where you just kind of have to kind of recalibrate. And you know you're probably just being overly paranoid, right? But at the same time, you're asking your mom to humor you for being, like, you know you're being paranoid.
Sure.
But just humor me. I've had that before. Like, and it's maddening because you're not asking for much. Like, every now and then when my daughter, she now lives in Korea, she moved. But when she was home, she would often come over to the house, and her and my other daughter, they would take our dog, And they would take him on like midnight walks.
Yep.
I don't know. They just.
I like to take my dog on late.
Yeah, they always enjoyed that. And we live in a, you know, we live in an old folks like neighborhood. Yep. Like there's nothing sketchy going on. At the same time, you like, I had like a, she, like my daughter was like 16 and the other one was, you know, 22 or
sure.
23.
Sure.
You know, and so it was always one of those things. And you got a big dog, but I just would always ask, just keep your phone on, right? You have your phones. You know, you both are taking them. Just keep your phone on. It's not a hard request. That's all I asked. And I remember one night they went on a walk and like an hour and a half goes by. Nothing. And I was like, hour and a half. I mean, they go for a while. And then it got a little later. And so now it was like 12:45 at night. And I was like, oh, just, you know, my gal was like, hey, shoot him a text. Nothing. No response. No red, no nothing. So I'm like, okay, well, now it's like one. So I shoot him another text like, hello, nothing. So then I call. No answer. Call the other one. No answer. Nothing. So now it's like 1:30 in the morning. At least six texts and at least six phone calls. No answer. Both phones.
Yikes.
Now I'm mashing the panic button.
Yep.
I'm like, this is not good. Go wake up my son. I'm like, you get in one car. I'm getting in this one. And we know where they walk. We're starting to circle.
Mm-hmm.
And my gal's like, do we call the police? I'm like, well, the police aren't going to do anything. It's only been, you know, two and a half hours.
Yeah, it's not a missing person.
It's not a missing thing, person. Yeah. So like, I'm in a constant state. Call. Me and my son, concentric circles around the neighborhood. And son of a gun. My son's like, calls me and is like, dad, they're right here. I'm like, what do you mean they're right here? They're like three blocks from the house. I was livid.
Beyond mad.
Livid. Because all I asked for was the same thing. I was like, dude, just, I was an old man. Humor me. I simply said, just keep your phone. It's like you said, mom, I'm a little nervous today. Just keep an eye out. Not race ahead while strange men record me out of the back of windows. That is like one of the most maddening things in the world when you ask one simple thing. Just don't let her walk home. Pick her up. Keep a phone on.
She did pick her up.
Yes.
She did turn her up,
but at the same time, she let her walk home.
It did turn out that he followed up because he is a good friend. Jaden's friends are good. So he watched, and grandma was then eventually behind her. So it was like, she's with a blonde lady, and it's like, yeah, that's my mom. Great.
In that moment, right? It's like an awful feeling.
It was bad.
When you already have like your hackles up a little bit as a parent, and then something small happens, then because it's fine until it's not.
Right.
We've all been conditioned to like, because I'm not much of a worrier, but when like the antenna goes up, then the panic starts in, and it's just an awful feeling.
Yeah.
Especially when someone's sending strange videos of your daughter skipping down the road.
Panic meter up, random text from my son's friend who's texted me literally one other time ever that says, hey, your daughter's walking down the street by herself with a video of her walking down the street by herself. And it's like, okay.
I wish.
Crap. Phone call time.
Dude, I wish beyond that I had nothing to do and I could just follow your daughter around and send you random
videos. She's a character. And that would be weird. And can we get a drop on that? I wish I could do nothing more than follow your daughter around and send you random videos. That is the creepiest thing you've ever said.
That's the sort of thing that, like, if I lived by a buddy and like this happened, I would send on a day-to-day.
Your kids by themselves.
Yeah, just by the way. Just like somewhat threatening messages. Just a little like, just saying, your daughter seems to be walking home awful alone right now. I'm saying, like, no one else is around. Who knows what could happen? That, this, like, little random, somewhat threatening messages. If you don't have someone in your life that's capable of doing that for you, then you don't have good enough friends.
She was told she'd be mentioned. She loves when she's mentioned on the show. She makes me play it back for her. So she is definitely watching right now. So hello to Jordan, and I hope you mind Grandma and stay with her.
Yeah.
And Mom, stay with Jordan.
Especially after you say, hey, I got a weird feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, like today's not the day to just let her meander home mostly by herself.
No. And that's the one like that makes me mad, cuz the kids not answering the phone always pisses me off.
That makes me mad too.
Because you have your phone. You're never without it ever.
And in fact, when your friend texts or somebody calls, you have no time to even listen to me mid-sentence speak to you, but when I call, you suddenly cannot answer, you don't even know it exists. So that's intentional. Yeah. You're intentionally ignoring me.
It might be the most irrational, angry parent thing I do.
It's mine too, actually.
Especially when the three little rat farts are together and like we're traveling somewhere. I know, you little bastard. One of you has your phone.
Not one of you?
Not right. One. And I'll just go, one, two, three. I swear to God, they do it just to piss me off. And I'm like, I pay for that effing, and this is how irrational I get. I'll yell. I'm like, I pay for your effing phones. The one time we're in a foreign country, you guys are off wandering the streets. One of you answer. And it's just, I think they just get a kick out of pissing me off.
Oh, for sure they do. But it just, for sure they do.
It grinds my gears. But especially when I ask. Because my daughter does walk the dog alone a lot. And I don't care what time she goes. All I ask, keep the phone on. You have it. You're listening to music. I know how phones work. You have a headphone in, which means when I call, the music gets interrupted with a little bleep, 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 bleep. It's not hard. It's not hard. Just answer the dad, I'm fine. Just one text. All you need is a thumbs up. If you're going to kidnap one of my kids, all you need to do is send me a thumbs up every like 2 hours. And you could, it would be like a month before I realized anyone was gone. I got a thumbs up. Everything's fine. It's okay.
Have you ever had that happen and then the text they send you is a little bit weird?
Yes.
Where you're like, did you get kidnapped?
Yes.
And so now I'm panicked. So now I actually want to speak with you on the phone.
The worst thing that I've ever done is the school shootings got me wrangled for a while.
Yeah.
Like they had me, I was not in a good spot all the time because it seemed like they happened every 8 seconds.
Yep.
And then I went through one when I was speaking at Evergreen High School. I was speaking to a class. Someone had asked me to come in and speak. Mm-hmm. And there was a kid that showed up with a gun. And yeah. They put the class on lockdown.
Yeah.
And I wanted to leave. I've told the story. Like, I was like,
I wanted to leave.
Well, I could see my car from the classroom.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm gone. And the teacher was like, look, we need to like be here with the kids. We're going into lockdown.
Right.
And, like, they turn off the lights and everyone gets on the floor. And I was asking him, I was like, he's like, this isn't a drill. This is real.
And you specifically looking like you do cannot walk out of a school in a school shooting situation.
Look, and it just happened.
And you would immediately be profiled.
I don't
as
care.
The guy.
I looked out the window and I saw my car. And there was a door from the classroom to the parking lot. And I'll be honest. I'm that parent. I told my kids do not like leave or to leave. I told every one of my kids, if there is a school shooting and you have a door, F it. Screw the lockdown. I'm like, what are they going to do? Like, get you in trouble? I said, if the school goes into lockdown, there's the door. I said, you run that way.
If you're that close to the door. It's different if you have to run through the main hall. We don't have to do the whole thing.
But I have told.
If you have an obvious exit.
Yes. Well, the schools that my kids went to, every classroom had a door to the outside. And the idea that I would tell my kids to hide under their desk, no. You know where the door is. Guess what? Keep running that way until you're a mile away.
Yeah.
So I had told my kids that. So I look out the window. They're like, you know, they come on the PA or whatever, not a drill, whatever. Everyone, you know, turn off the lights. And I'm like, dude, I'm gone. And the teacher's like, we can't do that. Like, we have to be an example for the students. And all I could think about was like the headline of local radio man leaves behind classroom full of shot kids as he flees. I wanted to be like, I had an expedition at the time. I wanted to be like, I can get 9 of you in there. The first 9 of you that get to the car, to freedom, we'll go. And I didn't. I stayed. And I was sitting on the floor of that classroom. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done.
And you probably had to sit for quite a while.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, this is so effing stupid. I'm like, the car's right there. And like, I was like, if some dude comes through, I'm like, and so like, especially after that, there was one day I was dropping my kids off. This was like maybe a month after that. I dropped him off and went to the same school, dropped him off in the morning. And as I was leaving, I saw some kid that I didn't like the look of. He seemed like a no-nunnik. I didn't like the way he looked. I was like, it seems a bit
odd. So you do follow and watch kids.
I didn't like it. So I left the parking lot, went down, had a bad feeling, circled back around, drove around the block, came back in the front of the school, saw the kid still hanging out there, parked from a distance, and I kept an eye on him. I was like, I don't like the way this looks. Eventually, he trotters off and does whatever. So I leave, see a different kid dressed very similar to this one. Didn't like the looks of him. Circled back the parking lot.
No way. You didn't like the cut of his jib?
Didn't like it. Didn't like it. It felt like the spidey senses were up. And I was like, and so I had already had this plan. I was going to run him over. I was like, that's it. The first time I see the gun.
Jeez, you were in deep for
dude,
a while.
It's bad. It's bad. I think I circled the block probably three times. I had this awful feeling that something was happening.
Yeah.
Like I was like, no, this is like going down. It was in my head. It was not a good place. I had the phone ready for 911. I had the car like literally like looking at the kid. I'm like, I'll just run you down right now. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I see a gun come out and you're getting run over by this SUV.
Oh,
and
goodness.
It was nothing. And I just,
really? It wasn't? I can't believe it. I thought you were going to tell me the time you became a hero.
It was nothing.
The guy who almost ran during a real drill and left the kid stranded also tells another story in which he ends up not being the hero.
I was so close to blowing out of that classroom and getting in the car.
What was it about him? Was he wearing like a corn shirt and you just were like,
no,
that,
he had on like
that could be really dangerous.
It was a nicer day and he had on like a big like parka that like came down to his knees.
Okay, like a trench coat like, situation.
Yeah, and he was just milling around and like he I don't know why.
You didn't like the cut of his jib.
I didn't like the cut of his jib. And it was like, it's way too hot to be wearing that coat. And then when I circled back around and that kid just shuffled off, then another one was there kind of wearing the same thing and that made it worse. I was like, all right, this is a coordinated attack. I got two of them I got to take down. Yeah, dude, all of a sudden I was like, I was full on, like I was Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Like, commando, no, I'm not letting this happen. And I realized, I was like, dude, you are so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, just get in your car and drive home. And I'm not like that. I'm not like a really paranoid parent. But those school shootings for a while, dude, that had my head up my ass.
Yeah.
It was not, it was not good.
I get it.
Since then, we're good. My kids are out of school. I don't have that anymore. But yeah, it's a bad feeling. That's that parental something's wrong vibe. It's all kinds of bad. This show, all kinds of good. We got National Signing Day. I want to talk about the Penn State thing.
Please.
This is the most fascinating thing.
Yes.
We may start there.
That's good.
We'll talk about Oregon, number one or number two recruiting class. We're on Chris Henry watch right now.
Yep.
Got a little NBA, got some NFL stuff in the news, plenty of stuff to get to. A Nemec and Souk, and of course, the Schnitzel Wolf edition of Primetime right here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Best text that came in said, that kid was probably watching you thinking the same thing. There's a sketchy guy in a car circling the parking lot. Had his hand on his phone ready to call 911.
For sure.
Found the point. I was ready to run him over because I thought he was about ready to commit a terrorist plot. And He thought I was probably getting ready to kidnap somebody.
A Proud Boy trying to kidnap somebody.
Fair enough. Yeah. The Penn State thing. So it's National Signing Day today, and we'll go through. We'll spend some time today. We won't spend all our time, but big day for West Coast, right? Oregon and USC. Sounds like the Beavs had a pretty good day. Husky fans seems to be pretty happy about it, but like the number one story here, it's not who had the top class, and you know it's the same. I guess, you know, Michigan and Oregon being top three may be a bit of a surprise, but, you know, Alabama's up there, Georgia, all that. Yeah. The Penn State thing has to be the biggest story of today.
Yeah.
Not just from a recruiting standpoint, but Penn State doesn't have a coach.
No. And no one's interested.
What, two people signed today? Did they have,
yeah, their class is 135th nationally. It was a top 10 class.
So I want to lay this out. If people have kind of been buried, their head buried in the sand, Penn State was the first major program to fire their coach. Mm-hmm. The very first one.
Yes.
They did this way back when. What were they, six games in, something like that, when they fired him? So they did this, well, like 2 months ago. And since then, we've had everything go on with Ole Miss, with Virginia Tech, with UCLA.
The entire carousel turned.
The entire one. And so far, they've been turned down. And by the way, this isn't speculation. They have been turned down by Matt Rhule, Kalani Sitake, Cignetti, Elko, Drinkwitz, Clark Lee, Jeff Brohm, who apparently just turned them down at Louisville,
correct,
and Bob Chesney, who was the James Madison coach. I want you to realize that Bob Chesney was like, nah, I'm not going to wait around to see what happens with Kalani Sitake. He said no and took the UCLA job. He was not willing to wait around for Penn State. He took UCLA. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know what Penn State's doing at this point, but they have no coaching staff. They have no two recruits. They have one of the worst recruiting classes. Have you ever seen...
It's the worst recruiting class in program history.
Have you ever seen anything like this from seemingly, quote, a top 10 program?
Yes. Not only two recruits, but again, during the Clay Helton last year that he was retained, they had the 12th best recruiting class in the Pac-12. And USC at that time was viewed... Now, people forget, Clay Helton had a couple of 10-win seasons. Yeah. They were pretty good. So to finish 12th in the early... You know, on early signing day was a huge problem. That said, this feels like a whole nother tier below that. This is another delineation below that. They're 135th nationally with two kids. That's disastrous. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely disastrous. And this isn't second guessing. This was first guessing. We talked about this on West Coast Bias. Both of us said James Franklin's a good coach.
Yeah.
So you better, if you're going to get rid of him in the middle of the year, you better have a plan, because you've now gotten rid of him with enough runway to salvage your recruiting class.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, you failed. They've already failed. Even if you go get, like, I've seen some Brian Daboll stuff, which, by the way, I think is an intriguing hire. And we've seen in the past programs struggle to hire a coach, and it works out. Oregon wanted Michigan, Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
When they were looking for a basketball coach. And it went weeks, and people went, who are they going to hire? Yeah. Well, they're going to get Creighton's coach, Dane Altman. He's a pretty good coach. Well, it worked out really well for him. So it can still work out. But when you do this in the middle of the year, in the college football current era we're in, with as much runway as they had, almost 2 full months before signing day, you have to have a plan in place. And if you don't fire James Franklin. Look at Cal. Cal is nowhere near the profile of a program, nor the budget of a program like Penn State. And it was pretty clear when they got rid of Wilcox that they had a guy in line. And it turns out it's very likely that it was Tosh LePoy.
Tosh LePoy.
Oregon's defensive coordinator.
And if it's not LePoy, they had Rolovich that they knew would take the job. And supposedly they were comfortable if they don't get LePoy and he wanted to stay, they pivot and they go to Rolovich.
Correct.
There's a plan.
When I covered Washington State when they had Paul Wolfe, Paul Wolfe was fired, and people went, I get it, because he's struggled, but you better have a plan. Well, it turned out they'd met with Mike Leach and agreed in principle to an idea, to terms. It wasn't fully finalized, but they had a basic outline of an agreement before Wolfe was even announced as being fired. So there's a way to do this to ensure that you don't have a lapse and you don't have a gap. How Penn State ended up in this place, it's unforgivable. They had a solid program. They had a month-long slump for a program that's been very good through James Franklin's tenure, who's produced a ton of NFL talent, who's done a great job at, for the most part, taking a program that, what would we call them, a second-tier Big Ten program?
They were stabilizing
them.
They were in the Wisconsin kind of level.
And stabilizing them as a consistent force.
Yeah.
Not not a juggernaut, but a consistent force in the Big Ten. And now you have the 136th best recruiting class in the country. And if we're talking the next 3 years, who are you buying stock in? Virginia Tech, who just hired James Franklin, or Penn State, who seems rudderless all of a sudden and guaranteed is taking a dip in this next recruiting cycle?
Isn't it crazy, too? Like, I've heard that he has flipped, what, something like between 9 and 11 recruits from Penn State have gone to Virginia Tech?
Yes.
So he basically took Penn State's recruiting class.
Yeah, I drink your milkshake.
It's just, it's unbelievable. And someone, I didn't know this, someone pointed out, Bob Chesney, who was the James Madison coach, who, by the way, whether or not he's the next Cignetti, because he, you know, obviously he took over for Kurt Cignetti, he's got kind of that vibe, right?
That's the profile.
Good looking guy, young, energetic, pretty fiery, right? Like that's like kind of what you're looking for. He'll do really well, you would think, at UCLA. He's from Pennsylvania. He played college football at Dickinson College. Guess where Dickinson's in? It's in Pennsylvania. He was in your backyard. Like, what are you doing? And the other one, too, is you got undone by a cookie. The crumble cookie people outbid you. Clonie Satonki was coming to Penn State until the crumble cookie people were like, all right, we can come through. You made BYU, who pays nothing. BYU historically has paid their coaches
They're famous for it. Famous for that.
What's the idea of... They lean heavy into the, like, hey, this is the Lord's
It's a duty. It's an honor.
And make no mistake about it. Like, when Satonki was making that decision, he met with high-up church leaders. He met up with high-up church leaders. I'm sure they leaned on him. But they also quadrupled his salary, and apparently they're giving him a bunch of money in NIL. They're committed to this. And one of the things is they went to the crumble cookie guy. They have a guy that owns like a nutrition company and another guy that owns crumble cookies.
Polar opposites.
Yeah. And they were like, hey, man, we're going to need some funding here. And they were like, yeah, you're Penn State and you couldn't beat cookie money?
I know.
What a weird.
20% less frosting for the next year and a half. We got to save money.
What a weird world we're living in that I would have never thought that BYU could beat out Penn State.
And this is why I make the argument that college football in a lot of ways is in a healthier place than it's ever been. I understand that the bad is loud.
Yeah.
It's loud.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Sure.
But if I told you, again, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, if I told you players are getting paid, we're having more competitive conferences, talent is more saturated in these conferences where there's more good matchups, that teams like Indiana and Vanderbilt can not only make a run at a college football playoff and have results they haven't had in their program's history, but also when teams come calling to poach their coach, they can retain them.
Yeah.
Then they can sign five-star quarterbacks away from Georgia, and programs like BYU who want to invest can keep their coaches. You'd say, hey, it sounds like things are pretty healthy.
Yeah.
TV ratings are the best they've ever been. Now, there are clearly issues with that. And I'm not trying to make the argument. If you're an Oregon State fan, a Washington State fan right now listening, you're saying to hell with this argument. And I respect that.
But that's a small
But there
piece.
Are some areas where things are better. And I think, you know, you look at BYU, Indiana, Vanderbilt, to me, that's the story of this season.
Yeah.
And that will go down as the story of this season on top of whoever wins this national title. That's what I'll remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I came from obviously a mid-tier, you know, we were in the Mountain West, right? I was there when the Mountain West was formed. And I never believed that BYU could be competitive. I didn't.
On a national level.
On a national level, right? And it was one of those things that I once I got there, I think I kind of regretted. That was one of the things I regretted.
It's a Ty Detmer ain't walking through that door kind of vibe.
Yeah.
What was your first season there?
97.
Okay. So you might have fallen under that. They had just missed out on the Bull Alliance game.
And
so you saw like, maybe.
And we had 2 years where we were a top 10 school.
Exactly.
You know, and so, going back and talking to myself, I would have been like, it's not fun to play against New Mexico and UNLV. Now, we played a great non-con. I mean, I got to play, you know, Notre Dame and Alabama and Virginia and Mississippi State and Washington and Cal and Arizona State.
Sure.
But those were four games a year.
Right.
You know, and so I understand. Like, if I could go back and tell myself over again, I think I probably would have made a different decision. Because I had options to obviously go play in the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the Pac-10 at the time.
Sure.
But I understand, once I was there, it was fine. Like, we didn't really have the obviously transferring was way harder and all that. So I was just like, hey, this is my lot. It's fine. I'll stick it out here. Get a good education, all that. I never would have thought, because I had BYU fans all the time would talk to me about like, hey, what do you think? And I was always like, no, like we aren't going to compete in that level. I mean, I was at the point where I was like, dude, if you split into like a top tier, you know, there's nothing wrong with BYU going down a level and being a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
I was like, with our restrictions, with the honor code and everything, we're not in a major conference. We're not going to be in a major conference. I was like, it's fine. Like I have realistic expectations. This world that we live in now has changed all of that.
Yes.
I mean, BYU is an actual, we can talk about it another time. BYU right now, if anyone has a complaint about the current system and the way they're being treated, it's not Miami, it's not Texas, it's not Notre Dame, it's BYU. BYU is 11-1. There has never been in the history of the AP poll at the end of the year 11-1 team that has not been in the top 10.
Sure, but.
No,
come on.
No.
You've seen.
But this is what I'm talking about.
They don't pass the eye test.
Okay. Well,
but you're still saying in the history, it doesn't matter. There's been other teams that don't pass the eye
test. Did SMU pass the eye test last year?
No, I get your point. Yeah,
did SMU pass the eye test?
No, I just said no.
Yeah, and SMU made the playoff. Right. Who beat SMU last year?
I don't remember.
BYU.
Okay, well.
But BYU was not considered. And by the way, I'm not trying to make the argument that BYU is one of the top 11 teams in the country.
Where'd you go to college?
BYU.
Okay. But I'm just teasing. I know.
But unlike, like, I think Dirt does this. Dirt puts on the duck-colored glasses. I do not.
No, you don't. You're very fair.
I am very fair. Trust me. BYU is going to get drilled by Texas Tech, and it won't matter.
And it won't. But, yeah. But that's what I think, too. I think Texas Tech is going to smack them.
But when ESPN puts up the demographic, and they're comparing Alabama, Notre Dame, and... Alabama and Miami, right? Mm-hmm. They put up those three logos. Mm-hmm. The one that isn't up there is BYU, because if you look at quality wins, top 25 wins, strength of schedule, you know who has a better resume? It's BYU. And it's not like, this isn't my opinion. This is fact.
Yeah, you're saying based on the statistics of where teams are ranked and who they've beaten.
Yes, based on what you, the committee, is putting out there, BYU has a better argument than any of those other teams. And so think about this, a Power Four, imagine an ACC team, an SEC team, or a Big Ten team being 11-1 and not making the playoff. It wouldn't be possible.
Sure.
With the Big 12, it is. And I don't know if that's a Big 12 thing. I don't know if it's a BYU thing.
I think it's a Big 12 ACC thing. I mean, so we might have a situation here where BYU gets left out as an 11-1 team, where right now, if it ended today, they'd be left out.
Yes.
And no ACC team or no ACC at large bid gets in at all.
So it's a weird.
And isn't there a world where no ACC team gets in either?
Yeah.
And this is kind of my point, is it has become the Big Ten, the SEC, and everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's why I think eventually these big brands, and I think BYU is one of them.
Yeah.
They're going to push to be in the Big Ten. You're going to get maybe Arizona State to push to be in the Big Ten. You're going to have Clemson and Florida State want to push to be in the SEC, because the line, it's not a fine line. It's a very firm line in the sand that if you're not in the Big Ten or the SEC, we are not quite as willing to listen to your argument.
But
in fact, you're kind of wasting our time, which isn't fair.
But we're willing to do it with Notre Dame, and we're willing to do it with Miami.
We're
doing it right now.
Miami's going to go back-to-back years, potentially, Miami, being the bubble team.
And we'll talk about Miami will get in. My point is, I'm not here to say, look, I get it. BYU is not getting in.
And I'm playing the foil here.
Yeah, BYU is not getting in, and I'm not trying to make that argument. I guess, to a larger extent, I'm just happy that in this world, yes, with all the flaws, because I've been saying it all along, as much as this system kind of sucks at times, it's way better than what it used to be. Because if you have a school that's willing to dump resources into it, and BYU is willing to dump resources in it, you can be a player. We're a player in basketball, we're a player in football, and I would have never thought in a million years that was possible. But the world of NIL and the world of, hey, if you've got some boosters that are willing to put up some money, including some cookie money, we can be better than Penn State. And I just never thought we'd live in that world. And so while it stinks for Oregon State and Washington State, realize that if you find a way to get a couple people that care and to dump some money into it, it doesn't take long before you can be back on top. So just, you know, it's kind of one of those things where there may be problems with this, but I still believe the system that we're in right now is way better. Because you can say, hey, we got shorted, we got screwed, but at least we're having the ability to be screwed over, where in the old system, none of this would have mattered.
And because
you would have been so far down the road, no one ever would have noticed you.
And you can rebuild really quickly when you do get screwed. Take a look at Oregon State right now. By the way, breaking news, they just flipped an Ole Miss commit, a receiver who is quite a player. So
We'll talk about this because we got a bunch. There's some big local news.
Yes.
From recruiting. So we'll talk about some of the individual players and we'll talk about some of the West Coast teams because it was a really good day, I think, on the West Coast in terms of college football. And I think that's good because outside of Oregon, there hasn't been a lot of positivity the last year or two on the West Coast. Although a couple years ago, there was a team out here that played for a national championship. That when we come back. Here, though, is Schulze with a sports update.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, we're talking a little national signing day. You may not like recruiting, but we've said it a million times to those that don't. It is the lifeblood of your program. And if you don't like high school recruiting, then you don't like your team being good. I mean, the national champion every year, you can pick it from about 10 teams and it all comes down to recruiting. In fact, I think Dave Bartu talks about this. There's like two teams that don't fit the recruiting profile that have even played for a modern national championship.
And they both had first-round quarterbacks.
First-round quarterbacks.
That's the only way you can break that.
Yeah, one of those, by the way, was Oregon.
And the other one was Auburn.
Yeah.
They played each other,
yeah.
I think. Well, I'm not sure if they played each other.
They didn't play each other because the one was...
They did play each other in that title game.
In that title game, but that wasn't the year that was Marcus against Ohio State and then the Cam Newton one. So, like, this is why I tell people all the time... If you stack top 10 recruiting classes, I'm not going to say you're guaranteed to win a national title, but history will tell you that when you stack them over and over and over again, eventually it's like tipping over a Coke machine. You get so talented that eventually the break comes your way. And that's kind of the feeling with Oregon. Like, you have a lot of momentum in this program and you're stacking together these classes now. And Oregon's always been a nice recruiter, but they haven't recruited like this. And Lanning is doing it every single year. And you're stacking top 10 classes. You're now stacking top 5 classes.
And top 3 classes.
And top 3 classes.
It's remarkable.
And that's Georgia, Bama sort of territory. You know, Michigan did this and eventually took a while, but they broke through and they won a national championship. So when you look at from a West Coast standpoint, right, we had USC being number one, although you say kind of with a caveat, Oregon number two, that might end up being number one. Mm-hmm. Washington ended up with a top 13 class?
Number 13 class in the nation.
Which is huge for them.
Massive.
And then the Beavs had a nice day.
Flipped a couple of big time recruits.
This was a big day for West Coast recruiting.
This is the best day for West Coast recruiting in a decade.
How much of that is the current landscape of NIL, or how much of it is the current landscape of you can't stockpile talent like you used to?
I think it's multi-layered here. I think that the SEC clearly had a leg up on paying players.
Sure.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
The ACC and SEC, and that's even from my time when I was covering mostly Oregon and Oregon State here at the Oregonian and moving on, you know, after that.
Yeah.
People told me they have salary caps.
Yeah.
You get $10,000 for taking an official visit in an SEC school. That was before you could pay players.
Yeah.
And the Pac-12 didn't really know how to structure that.
Yeah.
How do you structure a contract where a guy can't wiggle out of it and go somewhere else? How do you keep things above board where you're not negotiating with the cousin who's 23 that says he wants to be an agent someday that doesn't know what he's doing?
And not getting caught a la USC.
Right. And so the Pac-12 was a little behind. Oregon brought in some SEC-ACC influence early, seeing the writing on the wall with NIL and said, we have to be prepared when this happens. And they were. They hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And for a while there, Oregon was lapping the field.
Yeah.
USC and Washington, and I said this offseason, you can tell, and I talked to some folks at both schools, you can tell they've started to figure it out. They're much more confident that they know how to do this in a professional manner where they're not scrambling. Well, what happened? USC had the number one class in the nation. Washington had their best class in years. So that's part of it. The other piece here is you compare the number one, number two, number three class this year,
yeah,
or even in the NIL era,
sure,
to the number one, number two, number three class, say, in the Pete Carroll era. These classes would not stack up and be in that range. They'd be more like 5, 6, 7. Why is that? Well, the SEC is used to paying players, and now everyone pays players. So you look at what's happening. USC, I think Oregon actually led the nation, was tied with a couple other schools with 4 5-star recruits.
Yeah.
It used to be that Alabama, maybe Ohio State, whoever was number one, they'd have 8. They'd have 7. You look at the SEC, and you can go all the way down into the like 10, 11, 12. Everybody's got 3, 2, 1.
There
one,
just isn't enough
three.
Money to go around for those kids.
You
right?
can't buy all of them anymore.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you could when it was illegal and Alabama had the setup and knew how to do it, and they had the infrastructure and they knew how to get the money to the guys.
Well,
and they were a winning program. I don't want to reduce it to just that.
Well, is there an idea, too, that back in the day, because right now to land a 5-star kid, I'm guessing it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million to $3 million, depending on what position.
Depending on the position, sure. I think the average 4-star goes for around $100,000 a year.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not as much as some people think. Like you hear the Nicos or Riolas, and I think those are kind of the outliers. But
sure,
if you want a 5-star quarterback, it's costing you $1 million at least.
At bare minimum.
Bare minimum. And I'm from what I've heard, that back in the day, you know, DeAnthony Thomas, supposedly, it's not $1 million to go get those kids. Back in the day, it was a lot cheaper to land 5-star kids than it is today. So your money went a lot further back then
premium, as well.
Premium
position guys
prior
to NIL, including a guy who at one time was being debated as the number one recruit. I know his number at $250,000.
Right? Boy, you want to talk about inflation? Yeah. These schools are sitting around, man, back in the day. Pay, you know, when it was under the table, it was cheap.
Right.
You couldn't ask for
too
much. Well,
you couldn't give them too much, or that's too much money to have to track.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yeah, and the kid shows up with an apartment, and, you look at the parking lots, like when the Ole Miss thing was going down, it was hilarious because, like, people were obviously at the Ole Miss facility watching the players come in and out. I'm telling you, those are nicer parking lots than you have in NFL
Some of these schools, yes.
Because a lot of the NFL guys, especially some of the lower salary
ones, squad guys and stuff, they're being careful with their money.
Yeah, we drive trucks.
Right.
And even a lot of the guys, like when I was in Denver and Tampa, a lot of the linemen and linebackers, they just drove trucks. One of the number one vehicles you saw was like an F-150.
Yep.
And when you look at some of these parking lots coming in like Ole Miss, it's not F-150s. So yeah, I mean, it's a different world. But I actually think that probably helps. I think it was probably easier back in the day to construct rosters certainly was a lot cheaper than it is now.
Yeah. I mean, I know of a 3-star kid on the West Coast, good recruit, that doesn't totally speak to his level because he did pick up 15 to 20 offers in the end.
Yeah.
He was given about $140,000 a year and guaranteed 50% off on any car in the Mercedes lot.
Yeah.
That was his deal. So that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And that's going on everywhere. And now that it's more of an even playing field, yeah, you're seeing in the Pac-12, the former Pac-12 footprint, they're all over the place now.
Yeah, yeah.
Those schools have figured it out. And now that we're on this even playing field, not only are the Indianas and Vanderbilts getting their piece of the pie, but the Pac-12 now seems to be able to, the former Pac-12 schools now seem to be able to hold their weight. Mm. Whereas before you'd see them recruit a 5-star guy and you'd have to panic going into signing day going, is Alabama just going to flip this kid on signing day? Mm. So there's a lot going on. Part of it too, let's be honest here, Oregon's brand. They're producing a ton of talent for the NFL. And I really truly believe this if we're kind of recapping the West Coast. I think Washington feels their results are much improved. And you've seen that effort when they host visits. Kids are much more excited about a visit to Washington than they've been in years past. When you look at USC and Oregon, I think both staffs, Chris Henry Jr. still pending, I think that would sway things.
Sure.
Both staffs right now would say, for what we want, we have the number one class in the country. Oregon has 21, 22 commitments, so they have lots of wiggle room for transfers, and they don't want to run out a bunch of their guys. They like the depth of their program.
USC got like 36.
USC has 36.
Yeah. See, I want to talk about this. So we'll put a pin in it. We got to come back. We're up against it. We'll carry this over because I do want to talk about some of the individual kids. And I also want to throw some love to both UW and Oregon State, which obviously are going to get overshadowed by USC and Oregon. But again, nice days. So touch on that when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan. All right, we're way, way over. So we'll do something short here and kind of get back on the clock. But real quick, we'll touch upon that. And then we'll actually dive into some of the classes. But you mentioned Oregon, small class, USC, giant class. USC with 36 kids. The hell are you going to do with 36 freshmen?
You're going to run out a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah, right.
And so spare me that the transfer portal is all about kids getting money. Lincoln Riley is literally, I'm sure that staff has told 10 to 15 kids already.
You need to go.
To kick rocks. Yeah. And I bet it gets up to 25 to 30.
And by the way, to those, because Dion did this at Colorado and it kind of pisses some people off. And Mel Tucker did this at Michigan State. It's more common than you think. Dan Lanning did this, by the way.
Oh, heck yeah, Dan Lanning.
If he ain't good enough, he ain't good enough.
When Dan Lanning came into Oregon, they had a mass exodus.
Especially at that front seven.
Yes. It was Dan Lanning came in, and he basically said as much. He goes, look, these aren't good enough for what I'm trying to do. So they were open and honest with the kids. And like we've talked about this. About a third of everyone's roster is actively being unrecruited by that team.
Yes.
Where after a year or two, if you don't fit into their plans, at that point you become a burden and it's time for you to go somewhere else.
I've had coaches tell me that. We are actively de-recruiting 15 kids right now. We are actively de-recruiting 25 kids right now. Like literally trying to find ways to tell them to get out.
Yeah. So USC number one class, Oregon number two class, but strength of each individual recruit, Oregon greater than USC, correct?
By a lot.
Okay.
To put it in perspective, Oregon in the last 4 years has signed as many 3-stars as USC signed just this year.
Okay.
So USC stockpiled the 3-stars. Oregon's going for high-end talent.
USC tried to do what Oregon did several years ago, purge the roster, try to get more talent in. Lincoln Riley should have been doing this 4 years ago.
It's alarming that he's doing it this year. That is an alarming sign, but he is doing it.
All right, so when we come back, we'll actually talk about some of the individuals in that class, including some of the local kids and the Beavs, who had a nice day. Primetime, hour two, when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.